He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and who does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Purport. A Krishna-conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows. But he labors honestly as far as is in his power and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. He is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world. The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold, or misery and happiness. A Krishna-conscious person is above duality because he does not hesitate to act in any way for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, he is steady both in success and in failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge. Yadricha labha santushto dvandva tita vimatsaraha samasiddhava siddhaucha kridvapi namibhadhyate. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is freed from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing action. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states the ideal of a perfect person for the sake of Arjuna, who Krishna has pointed out is imperfect. Of course, we understand that Arjuna is constitutionally perfect, as everyone is constitutionally perfect, but Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord who, for a short time, demonstrated what appeared to be a state of material discontent. So this verse, as in several verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the situation of someone who is content in any condition. Arjuna's discontent gave rise to the speaking of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is Arjuna is sometimes named Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the yoga of Arjuna's lamentation. A discontent is the basic condition of this material world. No one is content in any situation, and discontent gives rise to the desire to change. So we find everyone, they want to change something. Just adjust this, change that, then everything will be perfect. And generally people think if they get more money, everything will be nicer, and they get more money. There's always, if they get more money, then they find there's something else they have to adjust in their life. Always wanting to change something. And of course, the change is going on beyond their control. The time enforces the body to grow old and die. And we are impelled to go to another body and another body and another body. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Because we want to change. We're looking for some situation. We're not content in our present situation. Therefore, gacchati jagat. The jagat, the world, is that which keeps on moving, keeps on running along, always changing, always trying to do something different, never satisfied in the condition that we are in. Therefore, yogis, santushta satatam yogi, Krishna describes, actually in the description of the devotee, he describes the yogi. He's a yogi who is always satisfied. So, samasiddhava siddhaucha. He's the same in attaining his goals or not attaining. He's satisfied. This point of samatha or steadiness, equanimity, is we find throughout the Bhagavad Gita, even from the beginning of Krishna's instructions, matra sparsha stukanteya, shitoshna sukha dukha daha, agama payano nitya, tangs te tikshasva bharata. Krishna tells Arjuna that one should understand the various dualities of this world, heat and cold, summer and winter, happiness and distress. They come and they go, therefore one should tolerate them. So a yogi tries to withdraw his involvement in this world so that he can be balanced, equipoised, whatever happens, he's content. And in this way, to get free from birth and death, because birth and death is impelled by desire to change this, change that, or just try something completely different. Although there's nothing really completely different in this world, there's eating, sleeping, mating and defending, but it would seem that to eat, sleep, mate and defend as a camel is different to that of a human being. So, well, let's try it out. We don't consciously think like that, but this desire to enjoy this material world impels us on and on and on, birth after birth after birth. And of course, that's not the only cause. That mixes with our karmic reactions. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papatteye. Karmic reactions, according to our karmic reactions, we're impelled into different bodies under higher supervision, under the supervision of the demigods and ultimately the Supreme Lord. And so according to our desire and according to our activities, we get different situations. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Although we are by constitution, we are atita. This word atita comes in this. We are beyond, transcendental to material nature. We are situated in it due to a desire to enjoy the three modes of material nature, and thus, impelled by the three modes of nature, we get better and worse bodies within material nature. So here within Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna again and again telling Arjuna to come to the platform of equanimity, that understand agama payano anityaha, things come and go, they're temporary, don't be disturbed by them. At the same time, Krishna is telling Arjuna to do your duty, not that you just, not to be disturbed doesn't mean that you shouldn't act. This was a great, that was a dvandva tito vimatsa. This was a great dvandva. This was a great dilemma of Arjuna. He couldn't understand. It took Krishna three chapters of Bhagavad Gita to get that point across to Arjuna, that being aloof philosophically, emotionally from the world doesn't mean that you don't act in it. So this Kali Yuga is an age of great discontent. So the message of Bhagavad Gita is most suitable for this present age, for any age, but especially for this age. In Satya Yuga, people were so spiritually advanced that a problem in their further advancement was their sense of happiness, their sense of sattvam sukhe sanjayati, that sattva-gun gives rise to a sense of happiness. But that sense of happiness binds one in this material world. So one has to transcend even that sense of happiness coming from sattva-gun. But in Kali Yuga, there's sattva-gun, where is it? We think if someone's a vegetarian, they're in sattva-gun. Well, it's not necessarily so. If you've seen an angry bull, he's not particularly sattvic in his outlook, even though he's a committed vegetarian. Look, Kali Yuga is chaotic. There's nothing, no great revelation in saying that. Everyone's mind is a total volcano, constantly spouting. What's the word? Erupting volcano. Sometimes when they go to sleep, they even then in the dreams, they're disturbed in their dreams. It's just people are so discontent, especially in the modern age in the Western countries, they're just trying to get more and more things to make people content, but they become more and more discontent. The more they get, the more they have this idea that if I can get more and more things, then I'll be better off, but they just become more and more discontent. If there was a discontentometer, if there was such a thing, I'm pretty sure that just like this mobile, what's it called, smartphones and iPods and Facebook and all those things, I'm pretty sure that the discontentometer would go up by using all these things. We think that we'll be better off by having all these things. But it just increases the discontent. That's the principal symptom of Kali Yuga, described in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Upadrutaha. People are disturbed. The prime quality, there are so many or disquality or fault of Kali Yuga. Kale, dosha, nidhe. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but The most prominent symptom is that people are always discontent. Therefore, they always want change, and there are so many revolutions. Then people are not content, either political revolutions or even in art and music. They're always trying to find some new kind of music and a different style, do something new. And this whole idea of progress. Progress, progress, progress. Make a better iPhone. Upgrade Facebook. Now it's more, better, new features. Progress. Always. I mean, you're not. Then you had the best iPhone, but you find out the most, the fanciest, the sexiest, and you find out after 2 months they brought out another model, so you have to shell out another few hundred euros or however much it costs to get the latest one. Progress. Progress means that you're always discontent. You're always trying to find something more, something different, something better. If you're always looking for something better, it means that we're not content with what we have. And thus, Kali Yuga rolls on or rolls down, down and down, 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 downward spiral. And we call it progress. We're not satisfied with the situation that we're in. Discontent can be good, in as much as it can lead to the contemplation of why all this. Of course, it can lead to suicide. Can have very bad consequences, or drug addiction, but it can lead to the contemplation by which a person starts to think very deeply about, well, what's life all about anyway? And then that can lead to spiritual life. If one is fortunate, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono, O Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. One who is very fortunate. It's not that everyone who's discontent and looking for answers gets the right ones, but one who is very fortunate by the mercy of Guru and Krishna get the seed of the creeper of devotional service put in their heart. They receive it. And then they can go on. They can continue from there. They have to accept it also. It's not just by getting the seed that your job is done, but one has to consciously say bij loya, what is that? Mali hoya bij kore. Mali hoya bij kore aropan. Shravan kirtan jale kore shaishan. One then has to be, having got the seed, then you have to become a gardener. It's not that you just get the seed. You have to become a gardener and plant the seed within the heart and then water it by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So one is very fortunate. He gets the seed of devotional service. That discontent leads to elevation. It can lead to degradation and it can lead to elevation also. There are many examples given right in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many examples. Pingala, the prostitute, the unsuccessful prostitute, is given as an example in Srimad Bhagavatam of someone who took to spiritual life because she couldn't get any customers. And she's quoted by the gopis as the Nairasha Paramam Sukham. Disappointment leads to the highest happiness. Can be, not in every case, but can be. Then the Avanti Brahmana, Puruvara. There are many examples given in the Bhagavatam of persons whose discontent gave rise to thoughtfulness and then taking to the path of self-realization. And probably many of us present here now, if also have taken to Krishna consciousness, having been through a period of discontent, not satisfied with what we have, with the situation we're in, and a desire to radically change, to understanding that the basic things that I'm doing, that everyone else is doing, they might seem to be content, but I can't be content. I need to find a different direction in life. Which is why, incidentally, this whole thing of doing rock and roll Krishna consciousness and rap music Krishna consciousness and pant and shirt Krishna and all this kind of thing, it's supposed to appeal to materialistic people and try and present it as something that they can relate to. But really, Krishna consciousness can be taken to very seriously by people who are not content with all these things and who want a radical change in their life. Anyway, that's a side point on this discussion. So, it is an important point because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur commenting on the Avanti Brahmana. So I'll just quickly recount that for those of you who haven't read up to the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the story of the Avanti Brahmana is told by Lord Krishna, or those of you who have read it and don't remember it. The Avanti Brahmana, he was Brahmana by caste, a merchant by profession, nasty person, extremely miserly. No one liked him, even his own family members didn't like him. Not a nice guy, but rich. But eventually, gradually, he lost his wealth, and he had no one loved him, and he was out on the street, and in that condition, it gave rise to contemplation, and he actually became a saintly person, and became very detached from the material world, and attached to Krishna. So he, amidst all that nastiness in his life, he, somewhere deep in his heart, he had a seed of Krishna consciousness was there. So he became discontent upon losing everything, and in that condition, he became completely detached from the material world and attached to Krishna. Detached to the extent that even though people seriously mistreated him, for instance, well, apart from calling him names, there are worse things. He would beg food, and then when he would sit down to eat it, people would urinate on the food and urinate on him. So it was serious mistreatment, but he was detached. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he commented that a person who is not ready, who is averse, they have no desire to hear this story or the song of the Avanti Brahmana, those who do not like to hear it, they will remain in materialistic consciousness. They won't. They'll remain a servant of material illusion. So that's very important, because having taken to Krishna consciousness, if we pick and choose what we like to hear, I like to hear all the nice things, but all these stories about detachment from the material world and not being entangled and giving up material desire, I don't like to hear that. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that one who is averse to hearing this song of the Avanti Brahmana, he must remain entangled in material illusion. So even if we take to Krishna consciousness, it remains superficial. Unless we are prepared to understand that, understand and act on the premise that we have to become detached from this material world, that this is not the place of our enjoyment, it's not the place of any enjoyment. There's no well, there is enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, but that's not of this world. This world is not meant for our enjoyment, and nothing's meant for our enjoyment. Everything's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So, again, this idea of trying to present Krishna consciousness as something that you can enjoy in some quasi-materialistic way, it's not going to communicate what Krishna consciousness is, because that's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam shiksharatam eka purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharira dhari kripam buddhi yastamaham prapadye sarvam bhattacharya expressed his surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is teaching bhakti yoga to himself based on knowledge and detachment. He teaches that. He came to this world to teach that. This supreme, eternal person beyond this material world. So we can be devotees of sorts if we chant the holy name of Krishna, but we also have to become free from the desire for material enjoyment. Otherwise, we'll be entangled in this world by the this Dvandva Tito Vimatsaraha, this state of being beyond happiness and distress, success and failure, that not envious of others, that can only come if we don't identify with this world at all. If we identify with this world, we're going to be discontent, because this world is designed to give us the promise or the hope that we can be happy, but what it actually delivers is unhappiness. It's just like, yeah, it's like some cheating company. You buy, they promise you so much, but you don't get it. I don't know if they still do it. Maybe it's banned now, but I remember They used to get this, just like you'd buy in the shop, there's a plastic container this big, this high, and peanut butter or honey or whatever, and it's very cheap price. You think, oh, that's very cheap. Big container like that. But you don't see that underneath the bottom is halfway up. So actually you're paying a high price. I don't know if they still, maybe it's banned now to do that, but they used to do like that. You think you're getting more than you're actually getting. You're always disappointed. So that is the material world. And as long as we're looking for happiness here, then we won't get the happiness of Krishna consciousness, if you believe Rupa Goswami, for instance, who says, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi Hridi Vartate. What's the next line? Tavat Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katama Bhudayo Bhavet. He asks a rhetorical question that as long as we are keeping witches in our heart, we keep the witch of desire for material enjoyment or the witch of desire for liberation from this material world, then how can we experience the happiness of bhakti? It's not possible. So bhukti mukti, the desire to enjoy this world and the desire to be liberated from it. But bhakti is the desire to satisfy Krishna. So discontent can be good, even in devotional service. Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You can all read that also. Add it to your reading list. Very well produced, excellent. I mean, what can I say? This Gopi Purandana Prabhu, his contribution in translating this and presenting Sanatana Goswami with his own commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So in there is the story of Gopakumar who worships Krishna, and he goes through many phases of worshiping Krishna, starting from almost materialistic, and goes up and up and up and gets up to Vaikuntha, and he's still not satisfied. And only when he gets to Krishna in Govardhan, which is where he started from in the first place, does he feel satisfaction. Otherwise, even in Ayodhya with Rama, everyone else is satisfied, but he's not satisfied. So that's divine discontent, always striving to come to... of course, there's nothing wrong with being discontent in the spiritual world with Rama. Well, that's subjective. Those who are in Vrindavan, they'll say there's something wrong. But anyway, the point is that he wanted to go more and more and more and more, closer and closer and closer and closer to Krishna. So that's a spiritual discontent. That's different from material discontent, which binds us in this material world. But that spiritual discontent, it will so overwhelm the consciousness if one has that spiritual discontent that he won't even be aware there's any material world to be discontent with. He'll be so absorbed in Krishna. Well, that's a very high level to be aspired for. but in more practical at our level, we should be discontent. We may be happy in Krishna consciousness ourselves, but we should be discontent to see the suffering condition of the persons who are not in Krishna consciousness. That Srila Prabhupada, he quoted that verse as he was coming to America, the verse of Prahlad Maharaj. What is that verse? Naivod Vijay Paradaryataya Vaitaranyas Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittam Shocheta Tovi Mukacheta Sa Indriyata Maya Sukaya Bharamudva Hatovi Murhan. He said that, I'm quite content. He's speaking to Nrisimhadeva. I'm very happy. not in a condition which most people would feel very happy, being tortured and thrown in boiling oil and thrown off cliffs, thrown in a pit of snakes. How are things? I am very happy. He's actually very happy because he always remembers and glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's always happy, but he's discontent also to see the suffering condition of the fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy that which is not enjoyable, maya, illusion. So devotees should be discontent also, not discontent with their own condition. To be satisfied in all circumstances, materially, but to feel, to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness, to be enlivened by Krishna consciousness. It's very enlivened, to be happy, to chant the names of Krishna, to study the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to live as a devotee, very happy to be a devotee. Not that you had to be half a devotee and half a non-devotee, but just, I want to be a servant of the devotees. This is my position. Jivesuru poi Krishna nitodas. That's all we don't need anything. We're happy like that. But then discontent that I have to serve Krishna. There's so much to do. Krishna's given us, Srila Prabhupada has given us the responsibility to bring Krishna consciousness to others. Otherwise, in spiritual life, if we're discontent on the mundane platform, it's a very dangerous condition. If we think, same Bhagavad Gita, sometimes we hear devotees say like that, Bhagavad Gita, not the Bhagavad Gita, I heard it before, not the Bhagavad Gita. Well, Srila Prabhupada, who's a perfect Paramahamsa, he didn't get tired of talking about it. Somehow or other, he didn't find Bhagavad Gita boring. In fact, he spoke the topics of Bhagavad Gita day and night, literally. So if we think, that's boring, let's go for a spiritual barbecue instead, or something wrong with us. The discontent, if we don't find content on the spiritual platform, then we're going to seek it on the material platform. It's very simple, because we are happiness seeking by nature. Our nature is satchit anandamai. Our nature is to be happy. If we don't find happiness where it really is in Krishna consciousness, then we're going to be discontent. Then we're going to look for change. Change from Krishna consciousness, or we try to redefine Krishna consciousness in a way that we think will make us happy. But what we have to change is our own consciousness. We have to change our consciousness from being that of an enjoyer of this world to a servant of Krishna. It takes some effort. We're going to have to give up various attachments, but that's the price to pay. Tatra Lolyamah, Tatra Lolyamapi Mulyam Ekalam. Ekalam. Yeah, the price to pay for Krishna consciousness is the greed to get it. So, if we're half-hearted means we give half our heart to Maya, she'll take it all. She's greedy. She impels lust and greed in us, so that's her job, thankless task, to take people away from Krishna. So we shouldn't cooperate with her. We shouldn't cooperate with Maya and give our heart and soul to her. So discontent, even if it's justified, there is ample reason, if we open our eyes and ears and look around us, there's ample reason to be discontent with many things in ISKCON. And that's not really a very controversial statement, but if anyone wants to be little bit honest. There are many reasons for discontent. And we shouldn't be content with seeing Srila Prabhupada's movement deviated in various ways, or misled in various ways, or not going on. It's not something to be happy about. But at the same time, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, the devotee by nature is happy. So discontent may be there, but we shouldn't be eaten up by it, overwhelmed by it. We have to keep our basis, our base, in the happiness of Krishna consciousness, which is always there, hearing and chanting about Krishna, associating with devotees. Very simple process. Very simple process. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, it's so simple, you might miss it altogether. We're so much conditioned to complexity and always having to change something and do something differently that we think, oh, it's the same thing, Hare Krishna. Well, let's try something else. Or same thing, getting up early in the morning. Oh, well, let's try something. What is there to try? There's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Pungsastriya mituni bhavamita. What is there? There's attraction between male and female. That's it. That's what it comes down to. All this, whatever it may be, if it's not in line with the desire of Krishna, then whatever high philosophy we may talk, it will end up simply in sex life, that's all. No high philosophy, as Prabhupada said. Dogs and cats don't need Freud. They don't need any psychoanalysis to find out what are their various neuroses. They just get on with it, that's all. They don't need a massive civilization just to find out different ways to do the same thing that the cats and dogs do. So, discontent, that will be there. There should be some discontent in a devotee's life, but his basic nature should be very happy in Krishna consciousness. Not that he avoids the causes of discontent. He addresses issues as required. According to his eligibility and his ability, a devotee should address various issues. But at the same time, we should know that over absorption and discontent will, unless we're finding the happiness in Krishna consciousness, that will lead to seeking change in another way. And the other way means not in Krishna consciousness. So Kali Yuga is the age of discontent, more than any other age. It's very much prominent in Kali Yuga. Discontent. But devotees should be content. A devotee is content. That's the meaning of a devotee. He's satisfied. Santoshta satatam yogi. A devotee is a yogi who's fully satisfied in Krishna. Because he knows that anyway, agama payano anityaha. It's not just the heat and cold that comes and goes and is temporary. It's not just the illness and health, but the whole material world comes and goes. The whole life comes and goes. The whole situation we're in. It's now we're in one situation. Then it'll be finished, and then we'll be in another situation. And all our struggles and everything we've stood for in this life—it'll just pass away and be forgotten. And so what really matters is to be fixed in Krishna and Krishna consciousness by the simple process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, transmitted through Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, and down to Srila Prabhupada, and on in parampara. Not necessarily that everything that comes down from in the name of Srila Prabhupada is in parampara, but if we catch the right thing, then we can go back to Godhead very happily. Be happy in this life and go to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Maybe I want. What time is the session supposed to end? Any fixed time? No fixed time. Usually we keep it time. Okay. Usually we keep it timely so that we can all rest early and rise early. Okay. Someone over there has a question. But as it happened, I was looking this way first. I didn't look that side until you called out. Okay. So please be content to wait until I answer. Yeah, that's become a formality to say that. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I continue. We are very happy to see you here with us. We are very happy to see you here with us.
Thank you. I'm very happy to see all of you also.
My question is just regarding this last sentence which you said, that we will be very happy if we catch the writing from Srila Prabhupada's name. So how can we know what is the right thing?
How can we know what is the right thing? Well, Srila Prabhupada gave thousands of pages of the right thing. And it's all the same, all the way through. Isn't it, when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's not that in one book he's saying one, it's not like some bogus yogis, they say, okay, so this is my thoughts on Jnana Yoga, and then in another book, this is Bhakti Yoga, another book, this is Karma Yoga, another book, this is Laughing Yoga, and you take your pick. But throughout his books, it's all the same. It's the same current. It's consistent. So it's not such a difficult thing to find out. If it's the same frequency. Just like singing in kirtan, you sing the same pitch. Of course, some people are tone deaf. Difficult to help them. It's like in the kirtan, you just follow. They play 1, 2, 3, you play 1. But some people, in Russia, it's a tradition to sing Sri Guru Charana Padma 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, but the 1, 2, 3 is out of sync. Did you ever know anyone go to Russia? Everyone does it, and they don't even seem to notice it. No wonder. But it's a simple thing, and Prabhupada has given in dozens of letters. If you rise early, read my books, associate with devotees, go on Sankirtan, again and again he stresses the same things. And various speculations and innovations he's addressed also. What can I say? Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kono, Bhagyavandi. If you want to be lucky, then pray to Krishna. If you're not sure after all of that, if you regularly study Prabhupada's books and follow his instructions, you're still not sure what the right thing is, then pray to Krishna. Or you can consult someone, but then you have to see that the person you consult is himself properly situated. Yes, please. Oh, just wait a second for the mic to come over.
Bring us to Krishna.
Difficulties in life can bring us to Krishna.
Yeah.
But it may be sometimes that we feel difficulties in life can take us away from Krishna also. We get overwhelmed by it, isn't it?
Yeah, this was my question, because also I can hear explanations and discussions regarding that sometimes
difficulties in life can be, mentally mostly, isn't it? Because physically you can be in a bad state. Ultimately it's mentally, isn't it? Birth in a favorable condition. We may be in unfavorable conditions. Situation may be too much. Well, if a devotee has seriously given himself to Krishna, then Krishna will help that devotee even in the most what is that? Gurunapi vichalyate. What is that? What's the line before that? Even in the most difficult situation, he remains steady. So Krishna won't give. If we're serious to serve Krishna, Krishna will help us. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. The test may be severe. The example is given there of the Avanti Brahmana. I don't know if any of us could go through the kind of things he went through. But there have been devotees in this movement who have been through. I'm talking about in this movement. I mean post 1965, who have been through extreme difficulties. Devotees in Russia, they're just described in that Salted Bread book. They remain steady even in such circumstances. Well, that's a good thing to remember. Very often, devotees come to me to tell me all their problems, and I have a standard reply that whatever the problem is, it could be worse. That even though this, it could be also that, also, on top of all of that. Another thing is, whatever your problem is, there are plenty of people in the world who have much worse problems than you have. So that's worth thinking about, isn't it? Count your blessings, as my mother used to say. Accept your lot, as one of my uncles used to say. Folk wisdom. It's good. It's Bhagavad Gita, actually, even though they don't know it. So this philosophical outlook by which we can remain fixed, sthita pragya, even in difficult circumstances, that comes by following the process of Krishna consciousness. If we, despite all difficulties, go on chanting, go on hearing, then we'll remain sthita pragya, fixed in consciousness. So we shouldn't be the worst circumstances are those circumstances in which we don't have the opportunity, or we may think we don't have the opportunity to properly engage in sadhana. And actually, that is the condition of many, many of our devotees all over the world, Grihastha devotees who are working. Maybe it hasn't come to Croatia so much because you're only new in the European Union, but European Union means you're going to be squeezed every drop of your blood. That's what progress means. You have to work, 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 work. And if you have any energy after that, work, work, work some more. So life is arranged in the modern world so that you just work, 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 work. And what do you get at the end of it? Enough money to go to Tesco and buy enough boga for the week. That's all. That you do on Friday night. And of course, in India, it's not even a five-day week. It's a six-day or for some people, seven-day week. So that's a very dangerous situation where we're just working, 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 and we don't have time. Somehow or other, we have to find time in our life to hear and chant about Krishna. If we don't do that, we're finished. And That's it. That's the worst thing that can happen. That's the worst circumstances. That if we don't hear and chant about Krishna. And it also may be that family problems, this and that, they may overwhelm our consciousness to such an extent that we forget about Krishna. But that's very dangerous. We should turn to Krishna more. I know one devotee, his brother got arrested for some crime. And it was he was a respectable person. This is in a village in India. He was a respected person, and it really brought down. It really brought down his own prestige, and police coming to the house and arresting his. He became so disturbed. He stopped chanting. He should have chanted more. So whatever happens, hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna. And then those difficulties which seem overwhelming, we'll find that those difficulties are the life raft that will take us back to Krishna. The greatest difficulties are the greatest opportunity to make progress and advancement quickly. So it's a great test. We can either get stranded out at sea and drowned in the ocean of material existence, or we can, by calling out to, when we realize, I really have no shelter but Krishna, then we can quickly come to Krishna. So it's a great opportunity. Nairashyam paramasukam, paramam sukam. In the disappointment and hopelessness, then we can find Krishna more. And we can remember, example, the Avanti Brahmana might sound like something we can't relate to much in a different time and place, but we can remember the devotees in Russia who literally gave their lives rather than give up Krishna consciousness. Kanda kanda hoy deho jai jodi pran tabu am nacharibo mukhe harinam, something like that. Haridas Thakur said that when he's being beaten in 22 marketplaces, that even by beating me, if I have to die, I'm not going to stop chanting Hare Krishna. So if we read and hear, then we'll remember all this and get strength, isn't it? Hopefully. Remember how Srila Prabhupada came, taking so much difficulty. No one encouraged him. He had to go on some freighter ship on the Atlantic, heart attacks, and came to America, no one to help him, no friends, no money. He kept on going and remained happy. So pray to Srila Prabhupada, give me strength. Hare Krishna. So 8:30, we'll finish. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.